I don't know if any of you have ever been to Alaska, especially the northern part of Alaska, but as you can imagine, the winters there are extremely cold and harsh. And so for centuries, the people that live there, the Eskimos, have had a very difficult time simply trying to survive. Not only the cold, but to find food to eat, but especially to protect themselves against predators. And one of these predators is the Alaskan wolf. They are nothing like the coyotes that we have here in Texas. They are ferocious animals who will attack any animal or human they come across. And so the Eskimos have had to become creative in how to deal with these bloodthirsty animals. So what they've done in the past is they take a knife and they coat it with animal blood. And they allow it to freeze. And then they add another layer of blood and another until the blade is completely concealed by frozen blood. And then they fix the knife in the ground with the blade up. So you can imagine the wolf, with his sensitive nose, knows the scent of blood and discovers the bait. And he licks it, tasting the fresh, frozen blood. And lusting after the blood, he begins to lick faster and faster until the knife edge is bare. So great becomes his craving for blood that he does not notice the razor-sharp sting of the naked blade on his own half-frozen tongue. Nor does he recognize the instant at which his insatiable lust for blood is being satisfied by his own warm blood. And so his appetite craves more and more until finally he finds himself dead in the snow. This is a story of the Alaskan wolves, but also of the wolves that we carry in our own hearts. It is a story of sin and how in that sin we destroy we ourselves. So yes, sin is an offense against God, and yet the tragedy of sin is that it hurts us just as much as it hurts God. St. Julian of Norwich says that when God sees sin, he sees pain in us. He looks on our sin more with pity than with blame. Brothers and sisters, every single one of us has a hole in our hearts the size of God. And when we don't fill it with God, we begin to fill it with everything else. Pope Pius XII said that the sin of the century is the loss of the sense of sin. And so we may not recognize our sin, or we may justify it, but at the end of the day, we all feel the consequences of it. There's a famous Russian author, Dostoevsky, who said, "There is a time is coming which people will say, there is no sin, there is no guilt, there is only hunger. Hunger." How many of us experience that hunger? Not a physical hunger, but a spiritual hunger, a hunger for something more. In other words, that there is a void in our hearts that we cannot explain, a hunger for happiness, plenitude, meaning, joy, peace, all these things that perhaps we don't have, we don't experience, and yet we don't know why. It is the disease of sin. The very word disease comes from the two words dis-ease, an inability to be at ease. When we are not at peace with God, we literally cannot be at ease. So we experience sadness, anxiety, depression, emotional problems, impatience, anger, a lack of joy. So many things come from the consequence of not being right with God. And so what is sin? What is sin? St. Augustine says, sin is nothing else than to neglect the eternal things and seek after what is temporal. We can often think of sin in terms of what is messy. Pornography, adultery, drunkenness, taking drugs, stealing, violence. All of these things, we recognize that they're wrong. But perhaps, for some of us, we don't struggle with those things. Perhaps our sins are not so much what we do, but what we failed to do. Not living up to the call that we have received to be saints, not taking our faith seriously. The sin of prayerlessness, the sin of indifference, the sin of putting God into a corner in our lives where we check the box to come to Mass on Sunday, but we live just like atheists the rest of the week. In every Mass, we recite the Confiteor, and we tell God, I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. In what I have failed to do. I think that at the end of our lives, the biggest regret is not going to be that we've had some sins of weakness, that we've fallen along the way, but rather that we will regret all the good that we never did. All the times that we failed to respond to God's call, that we failed to give him time outside of Sunday Mass, the time and place that God deserves. And this is the sin of omission, which is nothing else than being unloving. How many of us recognize that sin? Brothers and sisters, whether it is the ugly or messy sins or the sins of omission, what we failed to do, the first reading challenges us to rid ourselves of every burden of sin that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies ahead of us. It is so easy to begin the spiritual journey, but only saints persevere. And a saint, what is a saint? A saint is not someone who is perfect without defect. A saint is someone who gets up, continues to get up after his falls, who never stops trying, who never tires, and never stops beginning again. There was a study done not long ago, and it said that only 2% of Catholics go to confession regularly. 2%. And the other 3/4 never go, or go once, less than once a year. 2%. Are we sinners in need of grace? Do we need a Savior? Because God came for sinners. God came for you and for me. Good people do not go to heaven. I hate to break it to you. Good people do not go to heaven. Forgiven people do. And the only unforgivable sin are the sins that we fail to bring to God in confession. And we can go months if not years, holding on to something, not allowing ourselves to release that, to release that pain, to release that sin, and what we deny, even the Almighty God, the all-powerful God, cannot forgive. Brothers and sisters, there is no sin too great for the mercy of God. And that is the greatest gift that we can give him, the only thing that we can truly call our own, our sin. When we bring to him our sin, our shame, he rejoices at that opportunity to give us a new beginning, to allow that grace to flow in our lives again, and to return to us the innocence that we have lost. In the gospel today, Jesus says, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing." He has come to set you and I on fire. Fire of zeal, fire of passion, the fire of love, and how he wishes that we were already ablaze. After so many opportunities, after so much patience, after so many times, he has been knocking at the door of our hearts, waiting for us to open them. How long will we make God wait? How long? The greatest tragedy in our lives is not that we have perhaps had a time of being far from God or that we've made bad choices along the way, but that our hearts have become deaf to his call. His call to make him the center of our lives. And when we stop trying, when we become apathetic or indifferent or stuck in the routine without that desire to change, that is when our true death occurs. The death of our soul in this very life. And so, brothers and sisters, are we willing to make some change in our life, the change that God has been calling us to for weeks, for months, and perhaps even for years? Will we be generous with God, or will we be one of those millions of lukewarm Christians, lukewarm Catholics who care for nothing, who are indifferent, who seek to know nothing, who don't find meaning in anything, and remain alive because there is nothing for which they are disposed to die for? The choice is ours.